Thank you for making time to be here. Thank you for contributing to a primary goal of this event, which is to reinforce the commitment of the University of King's College to continue its work of the past decade in fighting anti-Black racism and becoming a welcoming university for African Nova Scotian and Black students. It is very fitting that we are gathered here in the Black Cultural Center that has been such an essential part of the change happening at King's. Important events in the recent history of King's have happened here, and two in particular come to mind. The first was the signing on October 17th of 2023, on the eve of the University's Studying Slavery Conference, of the Memorandum of Understanding between King's and the Center, by which each committed to a partnership to work together on two objectives. The first, to make King's a welcoming place of learning for Black students, and the second, to make the Center into Canada's leading repository for the history of Black Canadians. And what an honor it was for the Black Cultural Center to have trust and confidence in King's for assisting with that very worthy objective. The other event to be held here that comes immediately to mind happened on February 27th, 2024, when King's was finally able to confer upon Dr. Sherry Borden Colley, a distinguished King's graduate, an honorary Doctor of Civil Law here in this space, an honor that was announced in 2020 but delayed by the pandemic. These events, like tonight's, illustrate how the changes that have happened at King's flow from community partnerships made possible by the generosity and willingness of the Black Cultural Center, the Delmore Buddy Day Learning Institute, and the Prep Academy to give King's yet another chance to address its history and live up to its responsibilities and potential. It is humbling and gratifying to have many more examples of the contributions to King's of each of these organizations than I can possibly share in a few minutes tonight. In addition to those I have already mentioned, the role of the Center in hosting with King's and Dalhousie the 2023 University Studying Slavery Conference comes quickly to mind. So too does the meeting of the executive committee of the King's Board of Governors, when Doug Ruck was the board's chair, that happened at the Delmore Buddy Day Learning Institute in 2018, a harbinger of things to come. Another milestone moment has been working with Ashley Hill and the Prep Academy, who engaged with African Nova Scotian students at King's to develop recommendations for inclusion that have been substantially implemented over the past academic year. The progress we celebrate this evening is progress that King's could not have made alone, and so we cannot claim it alone. On behalf of King's, and on a very personal level, tonight I thank the Black Cultural Center of Nova Scotia, the Prep Academy, and the Delmore Buddy Day Learning Institute for their generosity, support, knowledge, expertise, and encouragement. And I thank Russell, Ashley, and Sylvia, and their colleagues, for the trust and the grace you have extended to King's and for thinking King's was worth your attention and belief. Given the history of King's, which I will address in a few moments, and the significance of King's in the history of Nova Scotia and of Canada as one of Canada's oldest universities, it is very important that we at King's recognize the contributions of recent years as merely one more chapter in the contributions that African Nova Scotians have made and are making to this province and our country. I can't do any better in paying tribute to that history than to quote words from Russell's benediction delivered at King's convocation last Thursday. At the beginning of that ceremony, Russell said, "Today we also honor the enduring legacy of African Nova Scotians, whose history in this province spans more than four centuries. Their story is one of resilience, determination, faith, and vision. Through generations marked by enslavement, segregation, displacement, and systemic barriers, they continued to rise, to lead, to create, and to build. They transformed hardship into strength and opened doors that many believed would never open. Their legacy reminds us that progress is never simply handed to us. It is earned through courage, through community, and through an unwavering belief that future generations deserve greater opportunity than the ones before them." In keeping with those galvanizing words, this evening asks us to acknowledge the progress that has been made, but also to note how long it has been in coming and how much remains to be done. Understandably, when confronting and overcoming anti-Black racism, our focus must be on action. But reflection is also important, including where there is collaborative progress to celebrate and continue. These moments of reflection afford us the opportunity for gratitude, acknowledgement, and to focus on what comes next, and to emphasize that progress is founded on truth-telling, as I think I can say, has been instrumental to the progress that is underway at King's. Most of that progress stems from the launch in 2018 by King's of the scholarly inquiry on King's and slavery. I must stress that this inquiry probably would not have happened without the leadership of Dalhousie in establishing the Lord Dalhousie panel. It also would not have happened without the support it received from faculty, staff, and student members of the King's Equity Committee of that time, which has recently been reconstituted with Archie Beals as its chair. Thank you, Archie, for taking on that role. The findings of the inquiry were published in early 2020 in a series of papers still on the King's website. One authored by King's professor Shirley Tillotson explores the university's indirect or financial connections to slavery. One by Carolyn Smarts Frost and David States explores direct connections. And a third by King's professor Henry Roper considers the nature of the connections between the King's College of Nova Scotia and the King's College in New York that became Columbia. Some words of Dr. Tillotson are an apt conclusion, not only for her paper, but for the inquiry as a whole. Referring to the wealth generated through enslavement in and beyond Nova Scotia that flowed to King's over five decades in government grants, student tuition and fees, and donations, she wrote, "The implication I draw is that we inherit an institution funded at its origin by unjustly extracted profits and taxes charged on blood-soaked goods." Frost and States focused on those associated with King's in its founding and early decades for their direct involvement with enslavement through the ownership of people, their business with those who owned people, or the views or attitudes they expressed or demonstrated towards enslavement. They documented those associated with Kings who opposed slavery and spoke up accordingly. Their broader conclusion, however, was this. In the growing debate over slavery and the slave trade, those associated with Kings generally supported the continuation of slavery. As part of the established order, they came to Nova Scotia to uphold. In other words, in its founding era, Kings was part of the ideology of white supremacy that made enslavement and the slave system possible. In December of 2019 and January of 2020, we hosted a series of meetings to share findings from the inquiry with members of the African Nova Scotian community. An information session for the wider community was scheduled for Wednesday, March 18th. There we intended to make an apology for our history and its continuing legacy. For obvious reasons, that event never happened. That apology is now long overdue, which is one of the reasons I asked for this gathering to be organized. We did, however, hold an information session within Kings on January 24 of 2020, before the pandemic hit. Then I said this. Slavery is foundational to the systemic racism and oppression Canadians of African descent have experienced for decades and continue to experience in Nova Scotia and Canada to this day. To address that legacy, working with African Canadians and African Nova Scotians in particular, we have to acknowledge its existence and its roots in slavery in and beyond Nova Scotia. Our scholarly inquiry is not an endpoint, and it is certainly not an end in itself. Instead, it is part of the continuing and sustained conversation we need to have with people of African descent about how we make Kings a university for them and a university that makes a valuable contribution to their communities. We have endeavored to live up to this statement of intent through our growing partnership with the Center, the work we have done with the Prep Academy, our continuing relationship with the Delmore Buddy Day Learning Institute, and our collaboration with Dalhousie colleagues. My colleague Karen will speak to the actions that have been taken and are underway at King's in more detail. I will simply say that in the past year, our actions have culminated with the creation of the African Nova Scotian Journalism Initiative, under which a defined number of African Nova Scotian students per year are admitted to study journalism at King's free of tuition and academic fees. And those the students who are the members of the first cohort of that program are here tonight with their families, which is truly wonderful. Our efforts have also culminated with a range of other initiatives following Prep Academy recommendations to create community and support for African Nova Scotian and Black students at King's. These and other measures begin to address King's accountability for the ways it has it was financed from enslavement and perpetuated the legacies of enslavement into the present era. They acknowledge and seek to begin rectifying the failure of King's over many decades to create spaces where African Nova Scotian and Black students, faculty, and staff could feel seen, welcomed, and valued, or to provide educational or professional opportunities for the members of African Nova Scotian and Black communities. These measures do not, however, replace the need for a formal expression of the continuing accountability of King's. Tonight's gathering creates space for that expression of accountability, both to link our actions and commitments to that accountability and to ensure that King's commitment to addressing anti-Black racism not only continues but grows and deepens. Therefore, as president of the University of King's College, I acknowledge with humility the harm caused by our institution's historical connections to slavery, anti-Black racism, and racial inequity. I recognize that King's has benefited from the enslavement of Black people and contributed to systems that dehumanized Black people and excluded African Nova Scotian and Black communities from full participation and belonging in higher education and the opportunities higher education makes possible. For this, we are deeply sorry. We are deeply committed to taking responsibility for our history through actions that contribute to reparative justice for the descendants of those enslaved and those harmed by the legacies of slavery, including segregation and ongoing exclusion. We are deeply committed to the practices of listening, learning, investing, building trust, and being guided in our continuing work to address anti-Black racism through partnerships and collaborations with African Nova Scotian and Black organizations and communities, including the Black Cultural Center for Nova Scotia, the Delmore Buddy Day Learning Institute, and the Prep Academy. To represent King's commitment to putting this apology into continuing action, I look forward to signing with my colleagues from the Center, the Delmore Buddy Day Learning Institute, and the Prep Academy, the North Star Statement for guiding the continuing work at King's in becoming the university it has promised to become, that was recommended by the Prep Academy and has been developed over recent months with the African Nova Scotian Advisory Committee to the King's BCCNS partnership. I would like to end with some personal reflections on the lessons I have learned over the past 10 years. I fervently believe they are lessons King's must continue to take to heart in the future in motion of tonight's themes. I begin with this. A university implicated in the history and legacies of slavery can neither refuse to look into that history nor to act in response to that history when it is documented. Either approach undermines the integrity of the university as an institution that is committed to the truth. That integrity is fundamental to any university's academic mission and the public trust it enjoys, precisely because it is committed to the truth. A closely related observation is that fundamental change can only happen at King's when we are honest about our role in the history of racism and how we have benefited from that history and its legacies. Accountability must be grounded in that truth. Action cannot be thought of as discretionary. It must be understood that King's has debts to pay. This must include honesty about the racism Black students continue to experience at King's, even as we recognize the progress that has been made in addressing that continuing racism in recent years. Change must work within and respect the modalities of collegial governance that are also fundamental to King's academic mission. On the other hand, it is the responsibility of leaders to make sure these processes of governance do not become barriers to action. Indeed, my experience is that these processes require the commitment of leadership to making change happen for these processes of collegial governance to play their vital role. I have a similar observation on the iterative dynamic between action and policymaking. The former should ideally flow from the latter, but the timeline on policymaking is often such that an undue focus on policymaking can delay urgently needed and trust-building change. It can become an excuse for inaction. This becomes especially problematic when the timeline for the policymaking process is out of sync with the tenure of leaders who are committed to making change happen. For example, at King's, we still have a woefully out-of-date equity policy. Until recently, various initiatives to change that were preempted by intervening events and circumstances. Meanwhile, King's has initiated the actions I referred to earlier and that Karen will discuss in more detail, which I am confident will inform the work on policy renewal now underway. Partnership with community is crucial to ensure changes adhere to the principles of nothing about us without us, and thus is truly grounded in real needs and aspirations. Change must be created with African Nova Scotian and Black communities, not for you. Engagement is also a vital mechanism for continued accountability and feedback, which will always be needed. Crucial to this is also ensuring representation inside King's. This must include hiring and supporting Black faculty, leaders, and colleagues in support roles. King's is making some progress on this, but has a long way to go. This greatly reinforces the importance of community engagement. Finally, the logic that asks, can we afford this, must be replaced with the logic that asks, can we afford not to do this, including in times of austerity and retrenchment like those we are now in. The reasons include the ways in which a university is better for everyone if it is one in which Black students, faculty, and staff can thrive. Conversely, one where they cannot is detrimental to all. In addition, the distinctiveness of King's academic programs means that King's has a distinctive contribution to make in assuring that African Nova Scotian and Black students, faculty, and staff have equitable access to the full range of opportunities higher education offers. Further, there is no path to sustained financial stability for King's or other universities without an inclusivity that includes African Nova Scotian and Black students. I learned a great deal about each of these points and many others by working closely with Doug Ruck over 6 of my years at King's. He is, in fact, now Dr. Ruck after receiving an honorary degree from King's last week in recognition of all he has contributed to King's, Nova Scotia, and Canada. As chair of the King's Board of Governors between 2018 and 2025, Doug ensured King's commitment to change and taking accountability for its history was fully supported by its Board of Governors. Consistently, when costs and other barriers raise questions about the feasibility of measures like the ones we will discuss tonight, he took the view that the cost to King's of inaction was much greater. His personal confidence in the contribution King's could make to racial inclusion instilled confidence in others on and beyond the board. His resolute leadership was inspiring and shows that the importance of Black leadership in higher education simply cannot be overstated. And on that note, I also want to recognize my colleague, Professor Sylvia Hamilton, who's here tonight, and to recognize the profound and foundational influence Sylvia had upon me in the first few months when I started at King's, in helping me understand what could be done and what needed to be done. In 2018, when King's reestablished the Prince Scholarship for African Nova Scotian students, which is now called the Gordon Earle Scholarship, after the African Nova Scotian who was the first winner of the Prince Scholarship in the late 1950s, Doug spoke at the announcement, citing his experience as an African Nova Scotian student at King's in the late 60s and early 70s. Doors are opened by others. Doors are opened by those who go ahead of us, he said. Time will go by, and you'll be able to improve upon what others put in place. In the work we have achieved together in the last decade of King's, we have opened doors. We have made improvements, and our work is just beginning. We must continue to build on the work of so many, including many people in this room, to ensure that African Nova Scotian and Black students, faculty, and staff can think of King's as a university for them and a university that makes valuable contributions to their communities. May we never lose sight of this truth. The African Nova Scotian community is an essential part of this province's history and of the vibrant future we can imagine unfolding before us. African Nova Scotians are a source of wisdom, creativity, innovation, and leadership that will continue to shape the future of King's and the future of Nova Scotia and Canada in profound and lasting ways. Thank you very much.